Blog Talk Radio.
Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. We just want to say good evening to everyone. We definitely going to have a good conversation. Hopefully we get your spiritual juices flowing on tonight. First and foremost, I want to introduce my queen, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening and happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday to everyone that's out there that's listening. And again, I just want to thank everyone that always supports us on Monday. Always send a text of what you like, what we should be talking about, this, that, and the other. It's just a blessing to be able to have a platform and to come straight from the heart, because tonight we're going to be on a couple different subjects tonight, and they're all very close and dear to us, and it's from the heart. And if you saw the email I sent out, or the text, or if you looked online and saw, I have 80-20. I got the 80-20 from a movie, Why Did We Get Married? The guys had an 80-20 rule. And I've been thinking about it for some time and discussing it with my wife, and this is the perfect topic of what we're going to talk about tonight, because we're going to touch on a lot of different subjects tonight. Hopefully we can raise your spiritual conversation, and hopefully you can be able to have a conversation with someone, and hopefully we can be able to get some answers on some things on tonight. Again, I just want to thank everybody for joining us for another edition of D&K. For those that supported us yesterday, I preached. My wife, she helped with it. She's always helped me with my sermon, so it's not like if she's not up there with me, it's not like she's not part of it, because she's always there with me when I'm tossing and turning at night, when I'm studying late at night, running stuff by her. So, you know, she is my queen, because even though she may not be up in the pulpit with me, she's always there. So it's always going to be D&K, whether she's vocal or not vocal, because she lives it every day with me. It's not something I just do by myself. She's always there, whether she's vocal or not vocal. She has something to do with the message. Now, she can't control everything that comes out of my mouth all the time, because she, you know, says things I probably shouldn't have said yesterday. But, you know, pretty much she knows pretty much, you know, 90% of stuff that's going to come out. And she will put the disclaimer, she cannot be responsible for everything that her husband says all the time. It's right, but she's not going to be responsible for the way that it comes out. But that's just my wife. She's just that special type person, always, you know, benefit of the doubt type person. And you know, that's why I love her. That's why I married her. But sometimes when we get into this, what we're going to be talking about tonight, what we're going to see. I actually don't do stuff when I get done preaching, but yesterday I was wore out. And it wasn't because of I preach. It was just because of the people, the stuff that people, a lot of people, and then, like I said, are going through a lot of different things, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your kids, whether it's your finances. It's just like every time you talk to someone, they're at a level 10, 10 being the highest of whatever their situation may be. And it's when you're in ministry, when people hurt, you hurt too. That's how you know you're sincere. When they hurt, you hurt. And like yesterday was a day that I was just hurting. It wasn't anything that the Lord, because I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I got, you know, I'm good. But when other people hurt, you know, it bothers me. My wife's been going through some things personally herself. And if she ever make mention of it, you know, she's trying to relocate her father and find out it's very stressful for her. Now, let me say this. My wife's a very strong woman. She knows what the word says, but sometimes you just get tired. And even though she knows the word and you can repeat it, sometimes you just need to hear a different voice. You just need a hug from someone that can relate with what you're going through. And it's okay to have that sometimes, you know. It ain't like El Dollar ain't being supportive, but sometimes, you know, you need to hear a different voice. Now, when I say that, I'm not, you know, I'm just being from a sister or someone that's been there, someone that can tell her it's going to be okay. We went through the same thing. You know, I knew who my mother and father was. I don't have that void is not in me, so I can't say I know how she feels. I just know it takes a toll on her. And even some things that's going on with some of our people that we're surrounded by, you know, there's just a lot going on. And, you know, we hurt when our people hurt, when our friends hurt, when our family hurt, we hurt too. We're right there with them. And so tonight we're going to talk about this thing that we call the 80-20 rule. And when I say that, you know, I'm going to start off with marriage, then I'm going to go into the church, and then a couple other areas we're going to go into. But the 80-20 rule is, you know, I love my wife 100%. There's no question. I love her 100%. Now, when I say that, it's true. Now, there's certain things in my marriage I'm not 100% at. I may not put gas in the car for my wife. So that's not an area where I can honestly say at 100% I'm always there looking out for my wife when it comes to putting gas in the car. I can honestly say I don't always put my clothes in the clothes hamper. It's not 100% because I don't do it. And she'll fuss at me and say, why didn't you do it? See, if I did it consistently, she wouldn't have to fuss. I could say I do that 100%. And it's very important that we understand that when we love something, we love the Lord, we love our church, when we love our spouses. A lot of times we do 100%, but sometimes we lack in certain areas. And when we lack, I call it the 80-20 rule. If I don't pick up my clothes, I don't wash my dishes, it doesn't mean I don't love my wife. It's just a lack in that area. So it's not 100%. In that area. And what happens is as believers of Christ, I'm only talking about the believers, is when you lack in an area and then someone else comes in and fill that void, it seems like, wow, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread, because it's a void that's not being met 100% of the time. And whenever that void comes in, people always think because there's a void in that area that, oh, okay, and then someone else can do it better. Someone else can speak better. Someone else can pray better. Someone else can do other things better. The maintenance man can fix the house better than what I can do. It seems like it's better. And then it seems like, oh, life could be better over there. And that's where that 80-20 rule comes. That's just one segment. And when a lot of people think about that 80-20 rule and, oh, the maintenance man, he know how to do this, he know how to do that, keep the grass, this, that, and the other. Well, Oliver ain't a maintenance. He ain't cutting no grass. He ain't fixing nothing. Well, it looks like, well, now you start to look at that area and you start tearing that area up, and it's like, okay, he can't do nothing. He's sorry around the house. But the fact of the matter is that I love, will protect my wife, will do anything for my wife, but certain areas I'm just not good at. And when other people are good at other things, you think that 20-80 rule comes in, and it's only 20% of them being good. The other 80 is just nasty and trifling. And I'm just being honest with you. It's like that even in the church. And I'm going to let my wife speak in a minute. You can go to church and you could have in the choir could be full of hell raisers. Well, I don't want to go to that church no more because the people in the choir, they just a bunch of hell raisers. But you go to another church and the choir is good, but the women guild is a bunch of hell raisers. You just left one thing and jumped into something different. It's just not. It's that 20-80 rule. Because anywhere you go, you're going to find some weakness. You're going to find some gray area. And then you always go to another place, and it seems better. You just ain't saw that gray area as of yet. I hope I'm making sense tonight. Wife, go ahead.
Well, I want to go, I think, a little bit further than and you can correct me if this doesn't make sense as far as where you're going with the 80-20. So, you know, I was looking at Mark 10 and 8. It says, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And we've taken this scripture along with Ephesians 5 and 22, which talks about wives, you know, submitting to their own husbands. And I'm speaking from a woman's perspective. A lot of women, you know, they lose themselves. They, you know, they feel like whatever their spouse says goes. It's like no matter what their spouse says, it goes. And it's kind of like you become like a Stepford, if I can use the word Stepford wife. I know a lot of y'all seen the Stepford Wives, and then if you haven't, you saw Coming to America, Whatever You Like, Whatever You Like, and it's like, no, that's not the way it is. So when it comes to the 80-20, it's like, okay, I'm going to give you 80%, but I need 20% for myself. And I think that a lot of the times if we're trying in a relationship to if I could say, like, you give your all, but at the same time, it may not make sense, but you give your all, but at the same time, you put in the effort to give your all, but you also need a part for yourself. And if you're not careful, you'll take that, those scriptures, and that scripture's talking about respecting your spouse. We do need to respect our spouses, and we need to respect ourselves. Because everywhere we go, you know, we represent Christ, we represent ourselves, we represent our spouse. And one person can't meet 100% of your needs all the time. You have to put in some work. You have to do something yourself. And I know people say, well, I love you with my whole heart. People say that all the time. And it's like, okay, if you love me with your whole heart, where's Christ? Love me with your whole heart, but I need you to love Christ first. So if there's always going to be a part where it's like you got to have a percentage over here. And when I say percentage, I don't mean like just in numbers. I'm just saying everything that you do, no matter what, you should do for Christ. And loving your spouse, that's glorifying Christ at the same time. So you're giving your all in everything that you do to glorify Christ, which also means you have to do for yourself as well. You can't just give every little piece of yourself to your spouse. And I hope I'm not making people think that I'm saying go against yourself. I'm just saying you have to make it make sense. I need my alone time sometimes. My husband needs his alone time sometimes. Go for a drive. Go to wherever you need to go. Just to get some time to yourself. It's not that you try to neglect your relationship, but you do need some time to regroup and, you know, have some me time. I like to go get my toes done. My husband don't have to go sit with me and hold my hand while I get my toes done. It's like some people can't go anywhere without their spouse. And I'm not saying that don't enjoy yourself, but you still also need some time to make sure that you're good. So that way when you do come together with your spouse, you're both good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Did I go away from where you were saying?
No, because if you can't, if the thing that you're saying that kind of sums everything up for me is, I can't love you if I don't love Christ. And I'm just going to be real with it. If I'm to honor you, I have to honor Christ. And if I'm honoring Christ, I'm going to honor you. Now, what don't make sense is I can't honor Christ and then don't honor you. I can't just be all about Christ's business and then neglect you. See, that doesn't fit. It doesn't rhyme. And it ain't, I'm just going to be honest with most men. You know, every marriage is different. Everyone has their, you know, their isms and their chisms and all that kind of stuff. But if you love your wife and then you love you, there's certain things that you know about your spouse. I don't need to know. So I know what my wife likes to do alone. I know when she needs her alone time. I know these things, so therefore I have to be man enough to give her that time so she can give me what I need when I need it. But if I'm hovering over her, it creates a problem. And the thing about it is where a lot of people go wrong, and I don't want to just stick with marriages. I just want to stick with church as well and just being a disciple of Christ, because if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to want to do right by your spouse, period. There is no, like I said, I love my wife with all my, I would do anything for my wife. At some point, I'm overprotective of my wife. Those are all good things, but there's some things that drive her crazy because we live together. I'm not perfect. I'm going to irritate her. I'm going to upset her. Now, when I say these things, I didn't say hurt her. I said irritate, argue. You get the gas, I get the gas. Give me money, I'm tired of putting gas. You know, them type of things. People, we argue about stuff. We disagree about certain things. Why did you didn't wash that dish? Well, why didn't you wash the dish? You seen it was in there. Why didn't you just wash it for me? I was like, you know, those are type of things that you learn to deal with. But then there's come another point where my alone time, I like to study. I put my headsets on, and we're just being transparent. You know, I don't need to go to a sports bar and watch a game with a bunch of guys to get alone time. That's separate. That ain't got nothing to do. That will cause more problems than it would cause me being alone. My alone time, and some people like to go for walks. Sometimes I go to the park by myself. I don't need my wife to go to the park with me to walk. She don't need me to. Now, sometimes we go together because that's what we want to do. And all we're trying to say today is you got to have some perspective and you got to know how to put the time in alone for Christ. So when you do come back home, you'll be a better husband or a better wife. When you do go back to church, you'll be a better member because the 80-20 rule. Everything ain't always perfect on one side of it. It's not perfect. It's not going to ever be perfect. But the thing about it is you don't look at the negativity. You look at the positive side of it, and then you go forward. You look at the positive side, and you focus on going forward. If you always look at the negative, then it's a problem. And I'm going to say this because I know there's a lot of men that love to cook. I love to cook. And there's some people who don't like to cook. My wife don't have to cook dinner every day. She only have to do it every now and then, whenever it's requested. Not because she don't want to, because she works. She got other obligations she has to do. She can't always be working. And then again, sometimes I don't want her cooking because I see that she's tired, she's stressed. I got you. And when you can relate like that, but some people are different. Some people old school. They want they meal when they come home. Regardless of what the woman does, they want. And that's between them two. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But as and like I was bringing up yesterday, because there's a lot of touchy issues going on, and it's like I ain't saying it's taking effect on me and my wife. It's just some days and some weeks you just hurt. And it ain't even got nothing to do with you. It's other people who are struggling through things. And sometimes they're on the brink of making decisions based upon that 80-20 rule. You know, 80% is good, 20% is bad. And just because 20% look good somewhere else, you thinking the whole thing is good when it really isn't. There's drama everywhere you look. Some people just, you see it and some you don't. And the thing that hurts is when you really get into it and then you see it, then you're hurt. And the reason you get hurt is because you didn't prepare yourself the way the Lord wants you to prepare yourself. It's like I talked about yesterday with Jeremiah. Jeremiah thought if he was faithful, if he did everything right, everything was going to be okay. It's not always okay. Just because you pray and you do this and you do that, it don't mean that, you know, you ain't going to see no rainy days. It doesn't mean that everything is going to go right in your life. You know, me and my wife are tested daily. And the reason we're tested more today than we were when we first got married is because we're doing more for the Lord. When you do more for the Lord, he's going to test you. Every area of our marriage has been tested. You name it, it's been tested. I'm just be honest with you. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it, but at the same time, it's been tested. In church, every aspect of church life has been tested. I ain't going to talk about it today, but it's been tested. I've talked about it before. It's been tested. It ain't because we don't go to a good church or it ain't because we don't have a good leader. It's just because that's the way life works. And if it works the right way, you're going to have your trials and you're going to do it for a reason. It's for a purpose. The stuff we're going through now, a lot of the hurt that we're feeling today ain't about us. It's about other people.
Amen.
That's how you know. That's how you know you're serving the Lord. And when people say, "I feel your hurt," I feel your hurt. I feel it. I was just there. I know what you're going through. We didn't know. My wife said when we first got married, I praise the Lord for this every day, we had $47 when we got back from Ohio to Atlanta in the bank. $47. That's what we had in the bank. Now today,
we
you know, is different.
Broke.
Back
Amen.
In the day
Thank
when
you
we
Lord
came
for growth.
For in the, when we came here, I wasn't serving in church at all. I wasn't doing nothing. I was going to church, and that was it. And not because I didn't want to do anything. I just wasn't able to do anything. Now I'm in a church where there's a lot going on. You know, it's funny because you go from doing nothing to you get there's a lot going on in every aspect. So the devil is going to try to attack every aspect of it. And it's like, wow, I didn't really think about that. And then you got to be careful of the people because 80% of the people are really praying for you. 20% of the people are trying to cause you destruction. I preached yesterday. Let me tell you what my comments was after I got done preaching. I got done preaching, and these people don't even go to my church. Oliver, you did an excellent job preaching, but don't you think that people will receive you more if you put a suit on? That was one comment. So I told that individual, well, you know what, now I'm going to go another 6 months without wearing a suit, just because you brought that up. Because in my background, in the history, preachers supposed to wear a suit. It don't say nowhere in the Bible. I don't think it do. If it do, someone please show it to me. But at the same time, I understand. You better than that. You was raised, your father, you did da-da-da-da-da. And I'm listening to all of this. And I said, what does that have to do with the word? What does that have to do with the word? And it was just disrespectful. You had a hat on in the pulpit. And I said, you know, I'm like, okay. I said, that's all you got out of the message was my outfit?
Focus on the wrong thing.
Right. Then from that phone call, another one, oh, great message. You and your wife, y'all getting ready to be pastors and first lady. And I'm like, hold up now. Hold up. Now, the Lord ain't, we ain't had that conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, you pastored before. I said, I pastored for a season. The Lord said, for a season. And we were good for that season. Then I moved to North Carolina, but that's beyond. That was for a season. I know what I'm doing. I know how to talk. I do have the Holy Ghost. The Lord do speak to me. And me and my wife right now, because I quit every other week church. Y'all just don't realize, wife, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
Don't call me. I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to go buy a yellow highlighter, and I'm going to sit in the back of the church and not bother no. I say that. That's the way I cope with certain things. So you have to realize that in today, I don't know what's going on, but I do know people are hurting for different reasons. And my heart goes out, and, you know, I wish I could. Only thing we can do is pray for them and be there while they hurt. That's part of being a disciple. That's part of being Christ-like, being there when the people that you serve with are going through something. You got to be there for them. Not talk about them, not throw them under the bus, not pick out all their sins, but be there for them. Some of them will listen and thank you for it, and then some of them won't. But we have to get to the point as believers and feeling hurt, even though it's not your hurt, even though it's not. And, you know, I found out some things yesterday that really broke me up that has nothing to do with me. And my wife is like, you know, well, what can we do? And there's really nothing we can do. There's really nothing. But you feel like you want to help people. And then, you know, they feel like why they're going through this. And over at another church, they're doing all this. And like I said, you got to be careful. There's no perfect church. 80% of it is going
to
be
can
good.
Can I add? I want to go back to what you were saying about, because a lot of the times I think people get caught up in, I'm going back just to the married couple for just a second. If you focus on your own marriage, it'll work out better. You can't look at what sister so-and-so is doing in her marriage or brother so-and-so is doing in their marriage, because that works for them. And it's not like their 80-20 may be different than your 80-20. So like my husband just said, he loves to cook. Now, before we got married, I cooked all the time. But I had a house full of kids. I had 5 kids in the house. So I was like cooking all the time. Now we have 2 kids in the house. And these 2 kids got a job and they're never here. So it's like, okay. My schedule is a little quirky. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what do I need to cook for? As long as my husband knows what he likes to eat, he's going to eat whatever he likes to eat. Me, I'm simple. I'll eat the same thing every day, so it doesn't bother me. That works in our household. That doesn't mean, okay, because she ain't cooking, I ain't cooking in my house. No, that's not the way it works. Do what you're supposed to do in your own marriage, in your own household, and pay attention to what's going on in your own marriage. Stop looking at other people thinking, oh, the grass is greener, their marriage is better, or we all go through stuff. Nobody has a perfect marriage. Everybody is going through something. Stop letting people be in your ear about, girl, I wouldn't take that, or man, nah, I wouldn't put up with that. No, pay attention in your own marriage. Talk to the Lord together. Talk to the Lord about what's going on. Pray together. If you put God first, you both need to put God first. It will fall into line. But if you out here doing you because you think the grass is greener and that 20% over there, then you out of order and it's not going to work. So just pay attention to your own house. Be strong on both parts. So when y'all do come together, you match each other's strength. That's what you need to do. You have to be strong so you can come together to match each other's strength. You know, if I'm doing A, B, and C, and then I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, just pay attention to what goes on in your own house, in your own marriage, and stop worrying about what other people are doing.
But that also goes for also not just in marriage, but also goes in ministry and in being in the church. Because with everything she just said, you're still going to go through some trials and tribulations. You can do all the praying, looking out for all, you can do everything right, you're still going to have some issues. And they may not be because of you. And then sometimes they may be because of you. Just because.
Right. Every church has its problems, but what are you contributing to it? What are you contributing to the problem? Are you being a solution to the problem, or are you causing havoc too? If there's an issue in your church and you're a member there, clean it up.
But see, sometimes it's not even for people to clean. It's not for people, even in marriage, it's not for people. Because when things happen, they happen for a reason.
You've got to work on it, though.
You work on
it.
It
may happen for a reason, but if you talk it, if we talk it to the, we serve the same God, we serve the same God. It's not your God, my God. It's the same God. If we're serving the same God, we shouldn't be having all these issues.
I'm not saying we shouldn't have the issue. No, see, I'm only going to disagree with something that's not right is because life happens. And sometimes when stuff happens, whether you're in church, just hear me out on this, whether it's church or whether it's a marriage, stuff happens. You could be doing well in your marriage. Everything can be going good, and then stuff just happens. And when it snowballs, and that's when you have to regroup. It's not the bad stuff that happens. It's how you deal with it when it's happening. And the thing about when you deal with it when it's happening, you deal with it. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't play with it. You don't mess with it. You deal with it. And what happens, and this is just Derek's opinion, people sugarcoat stuff when stuff happens. And then it gets out of hand. And then when it gets out of hand, you want to bring the Lord in it. No. If you see something, you get on it right then. Don't let stuff fester up. You deal with it. You deal with it. And I'm going to say something else. And this is, I've learned this over the last few months. When stuff happens, you have to deal with it. And sometimes you may have to bring in, and I know black folks don't like doing this, but I'm going to tell you, it helped me. You have to bring in somebody else. So in other words, you need to pay and get some help. Y'all got insurance? Go see a psychiatrist, somebody to talk to. Because, that's what the pastor and the leaders and there, that's what, listen, me and my wife, we can help anybody that we, but there's some stuff we're just not qualified and we just can't do. And I'm going to share a story with you in a minute. We just don't want it because it's not for us. It's not about us. And when you go talk to a professional, a neutral person, a doctor, it brings, the language is different. There were some things I don't think my wife understood that I was saying. But if the doctor says it to where she understands it, that communication gets better. It gets so much better. And I'm going to say this because this weekend, me and my wife, we're going on a marriage retreat. And what I love about this marriage retreat is not hosted by a church. It's just a married couple, been married, 28 years, if I'm not mistaken? And people from other churches come together. They don't try to steal members. It's just couples, fun, fellowship. This is how we cope. This is how we get through. Ain't no one trying to be starting church. It's just a good, I like to call it, I learn a lot from them with other men because we can relate to what we're going through and we can have a conversation. I ain't got to worry about a pastor over my head. You need to come to our church. I'm not worried about all of that. But it's important because when certain things come up, we can go to, it's okay to go see a doctor about your marital issues. I don't want people looking at me funny or it ain't for everybody's business. And sometimes the Lord put doctors for people to get degrees for reasons. But we want to take it to people who's – I'm not qualified to counsel a lot of people. I'm just not. I'm not qualified. And if I am qualified, you ain't going to want to hear what I'm going to say because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth.
You know,
I was going
through a situation. This is prior to me coming to PTC, but – and this is prior to me, to us getting married. But I had went through a situation, and I was a member at a church. And I had talked to the first lady about, I wanted to, have a counseling session because I needed to, you know, just get some guidance and get some understanding of what was going on in my life. And instead of my first lady being my counselor, instead of my pastor being my counselor, one of the mothers, seasoned mother of the church, she was able to sit with me. She sat with me for weeks, and she helped me so much. And I think a lot of the times when, because, you know, as your leaders, they're going to know, they pretty much know your situation. If you're close to your leaders, they know your situation, they know about your situation. And sometimes it's good to have somebody who is spiritually minded, who is running for Christ, sit with you and help you get through a situation. It doesn't always have to be, oh, my first lady, I need her to do it, or my pastor, I need him to do it. No, okay, show me somebody that you trust and you know that you would put yourself on the line with. And I think it's important that we all have somebody in our life that we can go to get some help, because a lot of people are messy. And what you don't want to do is think you're sharing your business with somebody that's going to keep it confidential, and then everybody in the church knows about it. That's not cool. I just wanted to add that in there. And if I can, I want to do a scripture, because a lot of the times we say things and we're either insensitive to how people feel. We're going to do it our way, and I don't care. Like you said, tell the truth. It's tell the truth at all times. And I'm just a believer that there's a certain way that you're supposed to do things. Don't be too insensitive when you're just doing it your way. At the same time, don't be oversensitive, worried about what people are going to think, what they're going to say, am I going to hurt their feelings. So you have to find a balance when it comes to things like that. We don't want no people that's like, I'm your yes man. Everything you say is yes. Oh, okay, can you do that? Yes. No, sometimes you can't do it. Stand on your own. You got to protect yourself and your mental, and you can't let things just go just because it's in the church and they said, okay, can you do this? No, I'm sorry, I can't do it this time. Maybe I can do it next time. So the scripture I wanted to give is 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should glorify Christ. Everything. And we shouldn't want to shine a bad light on Christ. Everything that we do, we need to check our motives to see if, you know, our actions are going to glorify God. So if I'm being flip with you and I'm being disrespectful to you, that's not a good light. We need to be shining the light of Christ. So I think the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the pastor who said about people giving people a piece of their mind. If it wasn't pastor, it might have been Tony Evans. I'm not sure because I've been listening to a lot of stuff. But people giving people a piece of their mind, everybody's giving pieces of their mind to where you ain't got nothing left and you sounding crazy when you talk and you don't even recognize it. So just check everything. Check who you are. Check why you're doing what you're doing and the results that you're looking for. Make sure they're lining up with what the word says and how God would want things to be done. Go ahead, Esther.
Well, see, you
I just want to interject that.
You said something. Well, you interjected it, but it's not, you know, I just want to go back. I'm not going to take back anything that you said, but I just want to comment on it just for the simple fact. Trying to be nice. I'm just going to go ahead and just be me. When you said sometimes, you know, I believe this in my heart of hearts, that whatever you go through, the people that are around you, there's a person there that has the answer. It ain't always going to be the elder. It ain't always going to be the pastor or the bishop that has it, but the answer is in the house. And what happens is a lot of times is this goes both ways. It goes both ways. A lot of people, they don't want to listen to nobody but the pastor. That's all they don't want to hear nobody else but the pastor, even though there's other qualified people that can help them and maybe even be a little bit more seasoned or maybe went through the same thing you went through, but you want to go because that's what you've been trained to do. You ain't being led by the Spirit to go there. You're just being trained to go there. The reason that men fellowship, women fellowship, is to get to know one another, get to know everyone's story, just in case you need to talk to someone that went through something that you went through. Because a lot of people, when I've said they're not qualified, not that they're not qualified to help you go through it, it's just, and when you were talking about what you was talking about, it took me to the similar situation about helping someone, and they didn't know nothing about the people that we were helping. So how can I help, and you don't even know the information? And this was a pastor, didn't know none of the information about his members. He didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm asking a question, well, how are we going to do this? And I got to get up there and speak, and I don't have no information. I could say something insensitive, and I'm going to the head, and he don't have the information about his members. So when you say you went to someone else that was more comfortable, it don't surprise me, because I don't think they would have had the information for you in the first place. So the Lord just let them off the hook. I don't want you to think that they made an appointment for this person to meet with you. That wasn't, you just happened to run, the Lord put someone in your path. It wasn't them. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference. And a lot of times in the house, you will meet people, you will meet handyman people in the house that will help you do this, it will help you do that. If I'm not mistaken, in the house you in today, and I'm being spiritual now, someone helped you get your credit score up. Am I correct?
Yes, yes. Shout out to the team.
So it wasn't the leaders that did it, though, was it? No. It was someone that was connected. So in that case, you found that it wasn't you didn't have to go. So you didn't have to burden this person when someone was already in the house. And when we say this is what they make that 80-20 rule, you know, sometimes there's people in the house, if you do right, and you fellowship right, and you move right, everything is in the house. Everything is in the house. But if you're being, if everything has to go through one person, like it did at another church, it went through one person, that's why a lot of people were set up and had to get up out. But when you're in a house that's full of other people who can do other things, that are able and capable of doing other things, you won't always have to go to the head. The head is there to do what? Give the word, give the instructions, and then you go. Now, when stuff pops up, if he can help and pray, that's what they're there to do. But we can't stress them out every 5 minutes when we got a problem, when there's other people in the house that can help, that's capable of helping. But the thing about that is, this is when you want to get, everybody want to get 100% and want to be a superstar. Well, Elder Oliver helped Sister Kisa, and Elder Oliver want to testify that he helped Sister Kisa. So now I'm calling the bishop. I helped her, and da-da-da-da-da. Now I won't put my name in lights because I didn't help you, gave you the light. That's not what it's about. That conversation shouldn't even come up. It shouldn't be there unless one, the person that received it. You're right. So we got to be careful with that. And that even happens in marriages. You got to be careful.
Right.
You got to be careful. Another thing that was brought up to my attention is you didn't say nothing about your wife when you got up to speak. Well, I didn't. And it wasn't purposely. But my wife will tell you, I don't have to pat myself on the back. I don't have to get up every time I say and say something good about my wife, because I do it on a daily basis. She sees it. She lives it. I don't have to. I mean, I should do it because it's the correct thing to do. But my mind was so on the message yesterday, and I forgot my notes. I brought the wrong notes that I was – and I went to tell my wife during service. She was in her own zone. She was crying. I forgot my notes. And I'm interrupting her service, telling her I forgot my notes. And normally in my notes, I always say something nice about your wife. But see, I do it on a daily basis. I don't have to do it behind the pulpit. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it on Valentine's Day. Matter of fact, Valentine's Day, I'm not spending no money purposely because no one's going to tell me how to treat my wife when the Bible already tells me how to treat my wife. It shouldn't take a day to treat my wife nice, to buy her some overpriced roses and some candy on that day. I shouldn't have to go in. I'm talking about marriage. I'm going to the church. I shouldn't only be happy when I speak at church behind the pulpit. Shouldn't be happy. The only time that it's funny because, you know, there's a lot of stories that I want to get out. My father was a pastor, and I think everybody knows that. And I was a teenager, probably 12, 13 years old at the time. And he had a white elder, Elder Anderson, and he had a wife, Betty Anderson. And she reminded me of Edith Baker. I just want to put you in that mind. She was like an Edith
Bunker.
Baker. She was really weird. Bunker. I'm sorry, Edith Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the sweetest person. And her job was to clean the church. And one day, because my father was blind at this time, when we went down to the church for rehearsal, we went down there. He was on the organ, saxophone I was playing, and she was down there cleaning the church. And she said something to my father, because, you know, she had the pastor all to herself. And she said that she was on her monthly cycle, and she hoped she didn't have to tell her husband that he couldn't have. Yeah, she said this to him, and I was sitting right there.
The disrespect.
She said it. But see, now, if you knew the lady, if it would have been a black woman, you know, but because of the lady and because of everything, it was awkward for my father. But when he told my stepmother, she about laughed. Now, she did address the issue, but she didn't address it where it was mean. But some things you just don't need to discuss. There's certain
right.
things you don't need to discuss.
TMI.
You don't need to yeah, right. And even that's why you need to go see a doctor. That's why people go to school, medical. You go see a doctor. You talk. You don't bring that into. You don't do that. But it was funny to me because I learned something. I learned how to get out of certain situations when you don't know. You know. My father was very cool with the situation, handled it very the best way he could. And then when we got out of there, I'm going to say the real him came out. Because what am I supposed to do with this information? What am I supposed to do? Call him? You know, so when you talking about certain things, but you see, if I have the same mentality of a lot of people in church, you know, my pastor and first lady, they would know everything that goes on. That's what you're supposed to do. Go run, tell them. Just like people call mm-hmm. me up after message and tell me what they think about me and my message, but they kind of get it twisted because they really didn't hear the message, but they saw everything else that I didn't do or what I should have done. So the question is, they weren't even listening for the message anyway. So I'm going to start questioning their salvation, because if you could look up and see I wore a hat, if you know I didn't have a suit on, and you could say it was a good lesson, but it would have received more if I had a suit, and just because of my background.
So they looking at the appearance and not the appearance and not the message.
And a lot of people do that in church. A lot of people do that in marriage. They do. A lot of men.
Well, didn't that happen to David?
Saying, huh?
Did that happen to David? He didn't look the part.
Well, no,
looking
he didn't look the
outer
part.
Appearance.
But it, sometimes it's not about the outer appearance. Sometimes it's a lot of people got
it's
game
not.
On the inside. But what I'm saying
problem.
Is a lot of people got game on the inside. It's not about the outer appearance, because there's some preachers that I know that don't look like nothing, but boy, they can spit the word, and they know how to spit it, and they know how to conceive people with it. That's why you got to be careful. That's why you got to be careful in your marriage. That's why you got to be careful in your church, because the two things are very powerful. Your marriage is powerful, and when you receive your word is powerful, because that's how you get to heaven. That's how you get to the next level. You can't get there if you're not spiritually led. And if it's always mess, how can you get to the spirit by dealing with some mess? You can't. How can you have a happy marriage if there's always some mess? You know, there's a lot of things that I say, and there's a lot of things that I know. And I've learned this through experience. And my experience is this, and then I'm done. I can argue with my wife, and I can, and it's cool. But if you ever seen your wife's face when it's hurt, when you hurt them, see, hurting someone and arguing is two different things. I don't ever want to see my wife hurt, and I don't want to be the cause of it. That is the worst feeling. That is a feeling, not only did you upset your wife, but you upset the Lord, because you made vows. The vows you made was to the Lord, then to your wife or to your husband. And when you do something to hurt them, you're hurting the Lord. And what really bothers me is a lot of people can hurt their spouses, can hurt their, and if they have no effect. And then people can come to church and spiritually be dead and have no effect. That 20-80 rule, 20% of the church is full of you know what. 80% of it is what you need to go with, because you know the word is being preached. You know people are being saved. You know people, that's what we need to focus on. And if our focus is there, that means we're serving him with a what? Pure heart. But if my focus is on Kay and Sister So-and-so doing what? What y'all do? Where y'all going? It ain't got nothing to do with the Lord, but that's where my focus is. I don't have the heart, or they don't have the heart of Christ. Because if you have the heart of Christ, you have a mission, you have a calling, you have a destiny that you're supposed to fulfill. And if he put you in that area, that's what you're supposed to fulfill. If he gave you that woman to be your wife or that man to be your husband, that's what you're supposed to fulfill. We ain't perfect, and I'm not going to sit up here and act like we're perfect. I don't want to counsel nobody, but if the Lord sends you to us, we do best we can. But I'm going to tell you first and foremost, if you got some insurance, please go see a doctor. They can help you a whole lot better than I can. Now, I'm not saying you listen to everything that they say, but I'm saying just to get the party started, go talk to someone that's neutral. Because sometimes you get too much. Like that lady gave me that information, it blew my mind as a little boy, and it just, I ain't going to say it messed me up, but I never looked at him and her the same again. And the thing about that is, it also at the same time, when people do give you information, you got to have a God spirit to know how to deal with it. Now, I'm very, very honest, and I'm very upfront, and I'm very hard on myself. So if a man comes and talks to me, I'm going to be very hard and upfront. I'm not going to be like my wife and be sensitive. I don't think, you know, I'm not a sensitive type person. Only when it comes to my wife is when I'm sensitive. But when it comes to men doing men things, being a man, I'm going to be like my father. I'm going to be 100% man. And if it hurts your feelings, so what? Get over it. If a man tells me something that I'm doing wrong, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. Now, what my wife tells me, it's a little different. It hits a little different. And it's supposed to hit different. But when a man, no. You got your wife. You love your wife. You don't hurt her. I ain't say you can't argue, but you don't hurt her. If I went out to a sports club to watch the game, I already know what my wife's going to say when I come home. You smell like smoke. That's the first thing she's going to say. You been around people smoking? I'm going to get an attitude because she know I don't smoke. You know, I don't smoke. So now we already in a feud just because I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be, but it also irritates her. I know that it irritates her, but that's my wife. If it irritates her, what am I going to do?
Pause for a second, because I don't want to say, because I could care less about you going to a sports bar. the irritating part is I don't want to smell the smoke. Just go take a shower and get the smoke off. That's it. It's not a big deal. It's not an argument.
Lord,
not an argument.
This concluded my whole. This is why we can't be B&K in church, because you made me lose my focus, and people really think we do really do be arguing. I'm not saying.
Well, I want
that.
You to clarify what. Okay, but people can take that as they be arguing over that.
I don't even go to sports clubs, so you know that what people think, let them think. I know if I went somewhere that I ain't have no business going. And there's nothing wrong with going to watch a game at a sports bar and eat some wings and drink some Pepsi. But the atmosphere, the crowd, the environment is the problem, and then I'll bring that problem home. See, if I go out and I went to breakfast with
people. But you can go to a relative's house who smokes, and it could be the same situation. So it's really not. Yeah, it's really,
You really working this one, ain't you?
I'm sorry.
The point I'm trying to make
Smoke bothers me, but go ahead. Sorry, I got sidetracked when you said smoke. I apologize.
Well, evidently, most places you go, they do smoke. And most of our relatives do smoke, too. So I guess I should have said a relative's house. But at the same time, if I know it bothers my wife, why would I do it? Why would I bring that to bother her? And like she said, you can go jump in the shower. But see, that's just like a man. You come home smelling like something, you jump in the shower, and you think it's okay. That's when you got to nip stuff in the bud right before stuff gets started. Because you and I both know, and I'm talking about marriage and church. Just go for both. I'm going to clean them up both. Going somewhere, you ain't got no business, and a smell get on you that you got to go wash it off. You probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. Secondly, we belong to a certain church. We ain't got no business, not saying that no one is putting a gun on us and we got to go there every Sunday. We have no business. Our job, according to the scriptures, according to what God has called us to do, is to be what? Be there and be helpful in that place. That's where we're supposed to be. I can't worry about 20% of what's going on there because it really has no effect on me. When people are hurting, yeah, we hurt. When people are going through, yeah, we're going through. We didn't come there and act like we're going to sit there like our stuff don't. We're going to come there and we're going to serve. That's what we're there for. You get married, you get a wife, what are you going to do? You're going to try to make every day for her to be as good as it can be. Now, I say that. It's kind of impossible to make every day great, but there ought to be something to hold on to. The biggest blessing I have is my two sons. And I swear, they ask me the same question at least once. How do I do what I do with my wife? How do you do that? How do we find that? I'm complete. I can die right now. I'm happy because they see something in me that they want that comes from Christ. My youngest baby said, "Dad, how do you talk to her? Get off, leave home, and get right back on the phone and talk. There ain't that much talking in the world." That's the difference between me and most other people. That's my wife. I'm going to talk to her.
Yeah, you love to talk.
Mm-hmm. See, now if I stop talking, it's going to be a problem. That's when that 28 is going to kick in. Yeah, yeah. Don't kick in. So when I stop talking,
anyway.
You know, yeah, right. But that's what we're trying
to
do.
Stop talking.
Y'all didn't think we were going to be out of church by 10 o'clock yesterday, but we was. So don't think I forget about stuff like that. Oh, Oliver Long went in. We were out by 10 o'clock. And the bishop was there in the house, too, and we was out by 10 o'clock. So I think I deserve something for that. Since I'm so long-winded. I'm so long-winded. I'm going to be quiet right now.
You don't deserve anything for that. You're deserving.
What? I do.
You're funny.
Y'all
receive your reward in heaven.
I want some down here on earth. The Lord says, you know, we get some of the stuff down here. Some of the stuff we ain't got to wait for you.
Cupcakes downstairs.
Right now.
Eat some of them cupcakes.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead and dismiss us. I'm done talking. Give us a good week. I'm done.
Well, I just want to close with, I know we've talking about the 80-20 tonight, but I just want to make sure that, you know, we are giving our all to the Lord. There's a song I've told my husband stuck in my head today, 99 and a half won't do. Jesus wants all of you, not part of you. Give him your all. And if you could just think about one. I'm sorry?
I forgot about that. Can I just add this in real quick? Because you said that. I don't want to forget it. That
sure.
song, you know, my wife did bring that song up, 99 and a half won't do 100. When we serve Christ, we're supposed to serve him with 100%. But let's just be real. We don't all the time. And I was going to tell my wife, I was going to say this. A lot of times when I'm praying, I'm giving 100%. When I'm preaching, I'm giving 100%. Now, in some cases, when I'm ministering to some people, like I have some relatives that I've been ministering the same thing for years, they don't get 100% no more. They just get a word. They don't get 100%. And I'm working on that because I should give 100%. But when you've been told the same person over and over and over again, the same thing over and over again, when they give you and you get it again, it's not 100%. So even in church, there's a lot. You may pray 100%. You may preach 100% or teach 100% or sing 100%. But there's some things that we do in the church we just don't do 100%. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. Elder Oliver is guilty of some things. I don't do 100%. And it's because I'm so tired of talking about it and so tired of being religious with it. It's just, you know, let's just get this part over with. Let's just get it over with. And I'm just being real. And when we start being real in the church, we can understand that we don't give Christ 100% of us all in every area. In all aspects of our life. And some we do, and some we don't. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That's what I wanted to say about that 99 and a half won't do.
All right, well, before we close, I would like everybody to just, you know, just think about that one thing or that one person, that one habit, you know, that you can't seem to let go that's hindering you from giving the Lord your all, and ask the Lord to help you in that area. Because he wants all of you. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. He died for you. He deserves your all. So if you have something you're struggling with.
Can you read that again? Can you read that one more time?
Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised.
So we ain't supposed to be living for ourselves. So even when you get married, it ain't for you. And when you go to church, it ain't for you. So if you get
everything
married, it really ain't for you.
It's to glorify the Lord.
It's to glorify the Lord. So if you're doing something that
everything.
Ain't glorifying the Lord, if you're doing something that is not glorifying the Lord, it's not pleasing in his sight. I'm just letting you know that. I didn't say that the scripture just, when she read it, I wanted her to read it again so you understand everything is for the Lord. And if you ain't doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And believe you me, there is no perfect church. There is a perfect God, but there is no perfect church. And with that being said, I know I was going to let my wife do it, but since I'm
okay, hold on. Let me finish what I wanted to say, and then I'll turn it all over to you. But there's a lot of people that go through things that everybody, you know, the Lord knows when you lay your head down at night what's going on with you. Your spouse may be laying right next to you, and they may not be knowing the full situation of what's going on with you, but the Lord knows. He knows everything. So there's nothing you can hide from him. There's nothing that you can be doing that you think you're getting away with. No, he knows everything. You make a mistake, repent, ask the Lord for forgiveness. Don't do it again. Keep it moving. Do better the next time. Just keep striving and keep striving to do what the Lord desires for you to do. And that's to bring him glory and to serve him. And when you serve him, you're serving others as well. So just make sure you're doing everything with the right motives and a clean heart. That's all I want to say. I'll let you take it from here.
I'm glad you're going to let me take it because I wanted to say something that you just said. Because if you got the Holy Ghost will reveal things to you, even when you're laying there and you don't think you know, but you know, you just ain't saying nothing because the Holy Ghost told you don't say nothing. So just remember that, too, because a lot of people think that some of us men don't have the Holy Ghost. A lot of people think I don't got the Holy Ghost because they ain't heard me speak in tongues. But I got the Holy Ghost, and a lot of things get revealed to me when I'm sleeping. So I just know stuff. Well, my wife, when I hear her voice in the morning, I know if something's wrong or not. She'll tell you. How do you know? Because the Spirit didn't told me. I know what's going on. Just like I know what's going on now, I just don't say. Oh, I say, I just, you know, choose not to say things tonight just for a simple reason, because I'm tired, boy. You know, there's a lot of people, and I just want everyone to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Because you don't know, people may look good on the outside, but they're going through so much on the inside.
I'm telling you, the saints are being, oh Lord, people of God are
attacked.
Being like, it's just horrible. It's just so many people that I know that are going through, and these people love the Lord with everything, and it's like they're just going through. So keep everybody lifted up in prayer. Nobody is exempt. We all go through something, and if you think you arrive and you ain't going through nothing, then I would check who your partner is, because we all going through something, so pray for everybody.
Pray for everybody, because like I said, you know, me and my wife, we was, and it's not that we were, I'm saying we were burdened down, like we were defeated. It's just the people we love and care about going through so much right now. It's just, you know, we're right there in the gutter with them. You know, I don't want to rain and say, well, but we felt this.
Because if you're
yesterday.
Happy over somebody that's hurting, something is wrong with you. If you're rejoicing when somebody is hurting, something is wrong with you. That is not of God. So we ask the Lord to knead your heart with compassion and empathy for other people, because something is wrong. When you can feel when somebody is hurting, and it's like, okay, me, I'm a hugger. And I was telling my husband this earlier. It's like, I know COVID, you're not supposed to do all this hugging and all this. I'm in Home Depot on Saturday, and the lady was helping me. We hugged. I mean, it's just like, okay, just we need that human contact. And COVID has made it to where we can't have that human contact. But just pray. If you got to just give us a slight hug and back away, we're people are hurting and people are needing some human contact. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I keep interfering with what you're saying. Go ahead.
You're just making me prove my point, how long-winded I can be. But no, for real, people are hurting right now, and it's just important to get it out. That you know, hugging them, being there, listening to them, and just being there for them. And, you know, I know some people know what I may be talking about. Some people may not know what I'm be talking about. I got family and friends listening, and I know they out there, they're hurting, they're going through a lot, and a hug will justify what they're going through. And I've never felt hurt like I felt yesterday. I think I called my bishop last night and said, what's going on, man? It's just feeling in the air. And, you know, the Lord was telling me today, you know, you're just hurting because you're the people that you care about are hurting. And you can't, you know, and I was so focused on yesterday, I wasn't really thinking about, you know, saying sweet things to my wife across the pulpit. Because one thing about me, I love the Lord. I want to make sure his message get out. But I tell my wife all day, every day, how much I love her, and I show it. I just don't post it, or sometimes I do, and I don't do it, you know, to try to prove a point to anybody, but that's just what the Lord showed me to do. One of the things, when we were going through the roughest time back in December, I never forget, I went and saw the bishop, and he said something that he said, let me see you preach while you in prison. That's what he said back in December. And then also in December, he said what he wanted to do for the new year, me and my wife, he put all this stuff out there for us to do. And about a month or so ago, after we didn't endure all what we endured, this is what you call a power move, because we're in a church that preaches family. And a family called the bishop and said they needed some groceries. And he called my wife, and my wife said, I'm going to go to Walmart, get this family some groceries. I said, well, okay. I said, well, when you're taking it over there, I'm going to meet you there. I didn't want you to go by yourself. So me and my wife met up at the people's house. We got out the car and took the groceries up there. Now, what I'm saying is, what was told to me way back in December, because me and my wife took the groceries, people saw us taking groceries to this house. That's a power move, because it's coming from a family. That's what you call a power couple. And if you ever walk into the church, I went to look for my notes yesterday, and I left out of church, and I came back into church. And if you ever come back into church, there's a scene that is always there. I wish I could take a picture of it. But as Minister Tobert, he's always holding his baby in his arm. It's the same arm. It's the same baby, same position. It's like Sunday after Sunday. That's a powerful message when people see it, because you don't know who's looking at you. You don't know what. But when they see that a man is married to one woman with kids, mm-hmm. hold his son, insert, that's a powerful message without even saying one word. That's power. And if we don't go back and start taking these power moves, we're going to miss it, because we worried about 20% of what's not right about church. Now, I wanted to say that, but I forgot, got caught up in the message. But that's a power move. If you ever look at the bishop sometime, and don't do it every Sunday, but if you see him get his son's attention on the drums, you'll see him get it. And he'll tell him something about how to play the drum, what to do, how to do it. That's a power move, because there's a father teaching his son in the middle of serving. And see, we take these things for granted, and we want to focus on other things. We want to focus on, because Bishop is Atlanta Hawk, he liked the Atlanta Falcons. And because he liked the Atlanta Falcons, I'm going to have an attitude with him, because he's a Falcon fan. What they got to do with the power move of him raising his son up the way he's supposed to go? You see, we get in different things, and we look at things differently. I said I look at things when I teach now, from being on Tuesday night, but I look at things differently now. There's power in just you showing up for church. Just show up. There's power. I love Sister Winsome. I'm going to talk about her, because she's always talking about me. There's power in her to make it to church every Sunday and come to church with the same enthusiastic week after week, but don't no one know what she's going through. And I'm just calling these names out, because these are power moves. People don't know. Now people are going to be calling, what's going on? It's really none of you. It's just power moves. To see a young man hold his son in service, that's a power move. I don't care what the message was about. I don't care. That's a power move. You know how many sons do not have that father holding them up in church while they praise the Lord? Think about that for a minute. I don't know I'm going overboard, but the Lord just brought that to my attention. He just brought it to my attention.
And to add to that, for the females, Bluette and Asha, when them two start shouting together, I love it. I just like you're saying, family. When it's families that's doing stuff, that's power. I love it. I wish my mom could shout in church with me. I wish one of my kids would be in service with me. That's it's a blessing, and I think people don't know that there's power in that. And people are watching, so.
Yeah, people are watching, so you got to be careful. Because a lot of people watching, and because we on Blog Talk and on Facebook, people watch. I got my son wanting to know about Minister Toe, how you know he got a business. He said something, and I don't remember what it was. But see, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who is looking at you. That's why I'm saying church ain't perfect, but there's a lot of stuff I can bring up that's perfect in the church, especially our church. I was at a church, I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't do nothing. And then when I was asked to do something, to get the information, I didn't get nothing. My bishop pretty much, and I probably get in trouble saying it, I don't do anything that I want to do, but every time he calls me, I'm available to do whatever is needed to be done. Unless it's my birthday, my wife's birthday, or we got some family with our mothers, the only time I really say no. And my father taught me that. Don't never say no unless you really can't do it. Always be prepared. Always be ready to go. And to all these young ministers out here that I'm mentoring, always be ready to go. Because you never know when I'm going to call you and I'm going to need you. But always be ready to go for your pastor. Because there's nothing like when you can call someone and they got your back. I know that from my father's point of view. Because he has some sorry elders. I'm just being honest, he has some sorry elders. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But
Amen.
I know we went too long.
About the schedule for the week. Amen.
Yeah. Tomorrow we have Bible study tomorrow. Praise Tabernacle Bible study at 7 p.m. Again, Omar Zachary and family will be on Wednesday. Catch them while they're hot. If they're hot on Wednesday, which I believe they will be on this Wednesday. But the way we're doing it now is when we're available, we're going to be preaching. If we ain't available, we just can't be preaching. So I believe they'll be available on Wednesday. There'll be a post about it. Be right here on Blog Talk. And again, on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And for those that joined us yesterday, we just want to say thank you. Praise God for all your comments, all the love that you've shown. And again, you know, just keep me and my wife lifted up. We ain't perfect. We trying to make it like everybody else trying to make it. And the way we do it is do our part, is do what we do right now. We talk about it, and then we'll hang up, we'll pray about it, and then we'll praise the Lord about it, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray about it, we're going to preach about it, and then we're going to praise the Lord about it. So one day, my wife will be shouting in church with one of her kids. I don't know which one it's going to be. I have an idea, but yeah. The Lord ain't told me to speak on that. But one of them will be shouting with her in church. And the reason I said, and, you know, the Lord just keep making me run off at the mouth. But we are going to be having, and Pastor did get okay, I just got to get a date. We are going to be doing a baptizing for anyone that want to get baptized in the near future. My son just really, you know, touched me. He said, Dad, I want you to take me under the water again. Because when I did it before, I was a baby, and now I want you to do it when I'm a man. And that really, really, it to the point where, you know, I guess when you get 50, you just start crying over any that's touching to you.
Amen.
So I'm a little bit alone. But we will be doing a baptism. We will be baptizing in the near future, probably in August when we get a date and a venue together. We will be having church, and there we'll go into the pool and, you know, baptize in the pool. And hopefully I'm going to get my son, and I'm going to talk to my wife about letting the grandbaby get baptized too. So I'm going to try to kill a lot of birds with some stones by taking them to the water, because it's very important that not only we preach it, that we try to exhibit it and put it in our kids and grandkids and our family members' lives. We have to do that. That's our calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to do. Stop worrying about 20% and worry about getting your family together. That's what we're doing over here. So for those that's listening, we love you. Thank you for joining us. Be back tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m. Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on full in effect. And remember, keep us in prayer. Keep our bishops, first family in prayer. Keep all the elders and all the deacons and all the evangelists. Keep everybody in prayer. Pray for one another. Uplift one another. And, again, try to see who needs a shoulder to cry on. Because they out there. They out there. They need people meet. And make sure you're available. That's part of ministry. Call someone up and tell them I'm thinking about you. And when I say that, don't call me. Call someone you normally don't call, because, you know, I'm going to go argue with my wife for a little bit. I'm going to be exposed to my wife. So call me tomorrow. With that being said, wife, go ahead and close us out in prayer.
All right. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time on tonight. Thank you for the things that you're doing. For you know the plans, Lord. We honor you and we praise you. We lift up every family that's listening on tonight, every family that will be listening in the future, we lift them up before you. We ask that you continue to keep them safe and covered under your blood, not only their families but their extended families. Every member of PTC, we lift up before you right now, former, past, and present. In the name of Jesus, we honor you. We lift up all the leaders right now. Continue to increase the strength to let them know that they're doing what you call them to do and stay focused on what you call them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody.